Hallelujah. I want to share something that's at the very heart of Christianity. We were talking about it in one of the songs this morning about our risen Lord. We're kind of close to Easter. And I want to talk on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And guys, this is at the heart of Christianity. I'm not going to talk about how to feel good, how to get along with your mother and your brother and your job and to prosper and be in health. Those messages have their place, but you know, at the heart of it all, Jesus died for you. Jesus died for you. 1 Corinthians 15 says it well. 1 Corinthians 3, 15, 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again. The third day, according to the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures, according to the Scriptures. You know, you can go from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, and you'll find the message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in it all. In the Psalms, in the Prophets, in the Gospels, you'll find it. You'll find it. The heart of it all, down bottom line, I don't care what church you go to or what you... Basic belief. Do you believe that Jesus died for you? That he was buried and that he rose again. That God rose him from the dead, raised him from the dead. It's a great message.
Amen.
It's the heart of the gospel.
That's right.
That is the gospel.
That's it.
That is the gospel.
That's it.
One time, some years ago, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, body for body, soul for soul, spirit for spirit, Christ died for you. I said, say what? Body for body, soul for soul, spirit for spirit, Christ died for you. That phrase started me on a study. And a lot of the sermons I minister are started by just a phrase that the Spirit of God speaks to my spirit. And then I go looking for what he means and what he said. Now, one thing when we look at the cross, something I want you to be aware of is Satan did not know about the cross. Satan did not know about the cross. I've heard people in messages say that Satan was trying to keep Jesus away from the cross. No. He was taking him to the cross. Satan was the one that had the power of death, and he was trying to kill Jesus from the time he was a baby on. He did not know about the cross. 1 Corinthians 2, 7 and 8. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the worlds to our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they'd have known what God had intended and planned in the cross, and the role the cross would play in the world, Satan would have done everything he could to have kept Jesus away from the cross. But he didn't know. And he was an agent of God pushing Jesus towards death however he could. And he had a role in the cross. Hallelujah. Now, when we look at the scriptures for the fulfillment of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, there's several types that have got to be fulfilled. One, Jesus is the Lamb that is slain. He's got to be the slain Lamb. Now, the prophets give us that prophetic picture. And even, you know, coming Exodus out of the land of Egypt. Remember the lamb? Lamb for a household?
Yeah.
Take the lamb, the Passover lamb, kill the lamb. Gather people into your house, a lamb for a household. Eat the whole lamb. Get enough people in to eat the whole lamb. And put the blood on the door. Put the blood on the door. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Okay, Jesus is the Passover lamb. He's got to be the lamb that is slain. But in the Old Testament, that's not the only lamb that was slain. There was an atonement lamb. There's a Passover lamb and there's an atonement lamb. And on the Day of Atonement, there wasn't just one lamb. There were two lambs. Two lambs were brought. You know, we oftentimes don't hear about those two lambs, but two lambs were brought and they both were qualified. And the lot was cast on them, and one was taken for a scapegoat, and the other was taken to be killed.
Right.
And that lamb was slain, and this is the lamb where they took the blood, and the high priest, another type that has got to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
Who is the Lamb, the type? Jesus. Who is the high priest?
Jesus.
Okay, the blood of the Lamb on this Lamb, it is not put on the door. This goes in to the holy place, into the holiest of all. And it's sprinkled there on the mercy seat for the atonement. Okay? He's got to fulfill that type. And he's got to fulfill the type of the scapegoat too. We'll come back to that in a little bit. Isaiah 53 is a wonderful passage about the death of Jesus Christ. You talk about the prophets speaking about that. This is one of the passages that we go to most often out of the prophets about the death and burial of Jesus Christ. Starting in verse 2, when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did esteem him not. Despised and rejected, and we hid, as it were, our faces. Let me start again on that. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. He was as a lamb, led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before a shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and judgment. Who will declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. That is a beautiful passage, and one gone to most frequently in Bible college about the prophetic picture of the death of Jesus Christ. There's another passage in the Old Testament that I like to go to about the death of Jesus Christ and the cross, and it's Psalm 22. Now, Psalm 22 speaks as much about the cross as Isaiah does. Only this is from a very interesting perspective. If I were to try to put a footnote on this psalm, it would be the thoughts of Jesus on the cross. The thoughts of Jesus on the cross. Listen to this and see the phrases you can identify from the Gospels. Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Recognize that phrase? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you did not hear, in the night season, and am not silent, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shout out the lip, they shake the head. Now listen to this. He trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, seeing that he delighteth on him. Where did we hear that? At the cross. But thou art he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while I was on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from my birth. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me. I want you to catch this phrase, for trouble is near. We're going to come back to that. Trouble is near, and there's none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They yap upon me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. Now, who goes about like a roaring lion?
Satan
does. The bulls of Bashan. I believe this is a prophetic picture of the enemy of Satan and his group around the cross. Do you think Satan was at the cross? I think so. The Romans were there. The disciples, some of them were there. The ladies were there. Some people were there. Some ridiculers were there. And Satan was there. He was the one that had the power of death. This was his crowning moment. What he had been trying to do since Jesus was a baby, he was now getting done. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within the midst of me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me to the dust of death, for dogs have compassed me. The congregation of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, be not far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword and my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth. Save me from the lion's mouth. And from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me, and I will declare your name to my brother. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. Okay? How many quotes from the cross, from the scene of the crucifixion, is in that passage? From the ridiculers, from the bones, from the poured out like water. I mean, it's all there. It's all there. Now, in Luke 23:50-54, I'm not going to turn there, Joseph came and begged the body of Jesus and took it down. Jesus died. Jesus died. You say, why are you making that statement? Yes, he did. Well, there's some people say who he was drugged on the cross and he never really died, that he was just drugged and then brought back to, you know, revived a little bit later. But Jesus died. Jesus died. Someone was there to collect his body and put it in the grave. Joseph took the body and put it in the grave. Isaiah 53 says they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. 1 Peter 3:18 says Christ suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh. Okay, now, what are the parts of man? Body, soul, and spirit. Okay. Now, by the way, we can separate the body from the soul and spirit. You just take a gun and go bang. And there's a separation that happens. You know? We can actually do that. This is a two-legged house trailer that we have. That we inhabit. And the older I get, the more I find out how temporary it is. It needs propped up. Plumbing needs fixed. Needs paint. It rolls along and hits a bump. All the things come out of the cupboard. Just a two-legged house trailer. And you know, the inner man is not accurately represented by the outer man. Hallelujah. The outer man decayeth, the inner man can be renewed every day. We're a whole lot younger inside than we are on the outside. I hope you are. Don't get old inside. Huh? Don't forget to laugh. Don't forget to play. Don't. Okay? Our body... we have one. We have a soul. We have a spirit. Body, soul, spirit. We have all of those. Now the Word of God can divide between them. But now the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, body for body, soul for soul, spirit for spirit, Christ died for you. Now, I in Bible college and whatnot was made aware of the death of Jesus Christ as far as the body goes. But no one had ever talked to me about the death of the soul. Some verses. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. And Jesus, about the ninth hour, cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou forsaken me? In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 to 10, wherefore, he said, when he ascended on high, he took captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And when we were studying this in Bible school, the teacher of the book of Ephesians said, well, this is a parenthetical phrase that we really don't know much about, so let's go on. And that's the way they dealt with it, where I went to Bible school. But notice, he that descended. He descended.
Right.
Okay, another verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, God, made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Right.
He made him to be sin for us. Now, stop and think with me. He made him to be sin. Okay. Did the Holy Spirit, was the Holy Spirit ever made to be sin? I mean, that is so revulsive to me. It's like fingernails on the blackboard. Holy Spirit made to be sin? No, no, no. Was the body ever made to be sin? If the body had known sin, it would not be the spotless lamb that would be there for the sacrifice. The lamb could not be with spot. The body never committed sin, and on the cross it was nailed down. Awfully hard for a body that's nailed down to commit sin. Okay. Another verse. Isaiah 53, verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou hast made his soul an offering for sin. What? When thou hast made his soul an offering for sin. Not body, not spirit. When thou hast made his soul an offering for sin, he will see his seed, he will prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Okay, back to the scapegoat. Back to the Day of Atonement. Two lambs, lot was cast, one was, they didn't know which lamb was going to be killed and which one was going to be the scapegoat. But there was a lot cast and they were separated, and on the scapegoat, a function of the high priest. The high priest laid his hands upon the head of the scapegoat and imparted into the scapegoat the sins of the whole nation. And then that scapegoat was taken by the hand of a strong man into the wilderness and turned loose to be killed. The sin was taken away. God doesn't intend to save his people in their sins. He intends to save his people from their sins and take the sins away. When we come to the cross, God made him to be sin. God put his hands, if you allow me to say so, on the soul of Jesus and imparted into the soul of Jesus, reaching into the past, gathering everything from Adam and bringing it forward and putting it in Jesus. Reaching into the future, grabbing everything in the future, bringing it back to Jesus. And imparting into the soul of Jesus the sin of the whole world from all eternity. One act made that soul to be sin. Now, if I lie, if I cheat, if I commit adultery this next week or month or year, Jesus is not going to come down to earth again and die on the cross for that sin.
Yep.
He appeared once. To die once. To take away sin forever.
Right. That's right.
You say, well, how did he know what I was going to do? Somehow God doesn't have a problem knowing that. God who dwells in eternity, who knows the past from the present, the future, all of that, who lives in eternity, is able to reach from both sides, gather it together, and impart it. And he made him to be sin. Now, I want you to get a concept of something. He did not put sin on Jesus like a coat. It saturated him. You wouldn't have sliced it and found a layer on the outside. No? Saturate. Guys, the same way he made him to be sin, he makes us to be righteous.
Wow, powerful. You bet.
He doesn't put it on us like a coat. He wants it to go from the inside, permeating every part of the being out.
Amen.
He made him to be sin. He made us to be righteous. The same way he made him to be sin, he makes us to be righteous.
Amen.
It's not something that we put on to act pretty. It's something that's God birthed inside of us.
Amen.
He makes us to be righteous. righteousness by faith. Hallelujah. You still with me?
Amen. Hmm.
I have an interesting psalm. Now, I think I put it wrong in my notes. I think it's Psalm 88 instead of the 89 that I have here. Somebody check real quick. Psalm 88 or 89. It should start in verse 1. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before Thee.
It's 88.
88, thank you. Let my prayer come before Thee. Now, this passage. Okay, on the other psalm I said this is like the thoughts of Jesus on the cross. I want us to read this psalm, and I want you in the back of your mind to put just a thought. These are the thoughts of Jesus as the scapegoat. Okay? The thoughts of Jesus as He was the scapegoat. I'll put the windows on my trailer. Okay. O Lord God of my salvation, I cried day and night before Thee. Let my prayer come before Thee. Incline Thine ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles. Now remember what I said earlier? Watch that word trouble. Trouble is near. Mm-hmm. Now my soul is full of troubles. My soul is full of troubles. And my life draweth nigh unto the grave. Now, by the way, here is a verse, a word that is mistranslated. This word is Sheol in the Hebrew. Sheol, not Queber. Queber is grave. Sheol is a place underneath the ground. Okay? And there's a difference there. And the King James mistranslates that word about 34 times. Okay? There's a difference between on the ground and under the ground. And my soul draweth nigh Sheol, near the place under the ground. Now, this place in the New Testament, remember Jesus, it doesn't say parable. It says He told them about a rich man dying and Lazarus dying, and they went down to this place below the ground. The rich man was in torment. Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. There was a gulf in between them. And the rich man, being in torment, lifted up his eyes and said, Father Abraham, send somebody back from the dead and tell them about this horrible place of torment. And Abraham's comment was, they won't even believe even if somebody comes back from the dead.
Right.
Okay, so there is a place under the earth. Now, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess of things above the earth, on the earth, and below the earth, under the earth. He descended first. Okay, His soul draweth nigh unto Sheol. Verse 4, I'm counted with them that go down into the pit, as a man that has no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lay in the grave, whom Thou rememberest no more, they are cut off from Thine hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in the darkness, in the deep, Thy wrath layeth hard upon me. Thou hast afflicted me with all Your waves. Selah, stop and think about that. Okay, now, Jesus not only died for you, He took your hell.
That's right.
Now, we like to color skin light gray, dark gray, black, this, that, the other, all of that kind of stuff. If we were to color the soul of Jesus a color, it would be the blackest black. All the sin of the whole world throughout eternity was put on Him, and He suffered the hell. He suffered the separation. He suffered the wrath.
Right.
He suffered that. And He says, in the lowest pit. In the lowest pit. Okay? Stop and think about that. Verse 8. Thou hast put away mine acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination to them. I'm shut up. I cannot come forth. My eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called unto You daily. I have stretched out my hand unto You. Now, listen to these next questions. Will Thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise Thee? Stop and think about that. Shall Thy loving kindness, Thy covenant love, be declared in the grave, or Thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall Thy wonders be known in the dark, and Thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? Remember that phrase. But unto Thee have I cried, O God, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent me. Lord, why castest Thou off my soul? Why do You forsake me? Why do You cast off my soul? Thou hast made his soul an offering for sin. Why hidest thou thy face from me? I'm afflicted and ready to die for my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I'm distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They come around me daily like water. They compass me all about. Lover and friend thou hast put far from me mine acquaintance into darkness. Okay. What happened to the soul of Jesus? God made him to be sin. God forsook him. Satan took him. Joseph took the body. Satan took the soul. Down into the realm that he had the power of. He had the power of death. Jesus came to destroy him that had the power of death. He took him down into the power, into the pits. Not to the good side where the comfort was, to the bad side. Not the highest pit, but the lowest pit. The lowest pit, separated, covered by the wrath of God, separated, darkness, friend, everybody far from me. Thy wrath covers me. Separated from God. The body is on the grave and on the earth. The soul is below the earth. Now, Matthew 27, verse 50. And Jesus, when he cried with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Luke 23:46. Jesus, when he cried with a loud voice, said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said that, he gave up the ghost. Now, quite honestly, I cannot go to a single prayer in the New Testament that Jesus prayed that didn't get answered. When he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, there was nowhere else that the Spirit of God could go, or the Spirit of Jesus could go. It didn't go to the grave. It didn't go to the pits. It didn't. Hebrews tells us that Jesus is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That's 7:17. In Hebrews 9:11-12, but Christ, having come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of bulls or goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Okay, now, guys, I was taught that Jesus died, and then he rose again, and then 40 days later, he ascended to the Father and took the blood to the Father. That's what I was taught. Okay? I don't think so. You say, oh, what do you think? I think Jesus said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest laid hands on the scapegoat, sent it out, killed the other lamb, took the blood. And can you imagine? Now, the nation of Israel is gathered together for the Day of Atonement. Can you imagine if the high priest set the blood down on the corner of the altar and said, hey, everybody, I'm going away for 40 days, going to take a vacation. I'll come back, and in 40 days we're going to take the blood in. No. People wouldn't have stood for it. The other priests wouldn't have stood for it. Why? Because the blood is not for you. The blood is for the Father.
Yeah, that's right.
And the Father says, when I see the blood, it's not what you count in the blood. It's the value he places in the blood. Okay? The high priest took the blood, and went what? Went into the holy place, into the holiest of all. That blood was to go into the holiest of all and to be sprinkled on the mercy seat. What happened? Jesus at the cross, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. The Spirit takes the blood. How much of his blood did he pour out? All of it. The Spirit took the blood, and what? Did you catch that sentence in Hebrews? It said, by a more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. By the way, Moses made his tabernacle according to the pattern which he saw. There is a heavenly tabernacle that is not made with hands. That's a type of. I mean, that's what Moses was shadowing. But there is a holy place, and there is the holiest of all in the heavens that's not built with hands. And that he, not by the blood of goats, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He obtained eternal redemption for us. Verse 13, for if the bloods of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth through the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve a living God. How did he do it? Who through the eternal Spirit? It doesn't say who through the glorified body or who through the soul. No, who through the Spirit offered himself. He entered by the Spirit with his own blood. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Body goes to the grave. Soul goes to the pits. The Spirit gathers the blood and goes to the Father and enters into that tabernacle not made with hands. Enters into the veil and sprinkles the blood on the mercy seat. How many times? Seven times. Seven times on the mercy seat. I want you to see something. At one time, in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, he touches the highest heaven, things above the earth. He touches the earth, things that are on the earth. And he touches the lowest pit. From the lowest pit to the highest heaven. From the highest heaven to the lowest hell. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. His death is all encompassing. Highest heaven, lowest hell. First Timothy 3:16. For without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Who was manifest in the flesh? Jesus. God manifest in the flesh is Jesus. Justified in the Spirit. Jesus justified in the Spirit. Wait a second. Justified is a word for sinners. It's just as if I'd never sinned. There's only one time that Jesus ever need justified, and that was when he was made to be sin. He didn't need to be justified during his life. He was just. He was just. But he was justified in the Spirit. Where? In the Spirit. Interesting phrase. In the Spirit. In Isaiah 53:11, God shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. God shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Romans 8:11, but the Spirit, if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you. If what? If the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead be in you. Now, follow me. He will see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. One more verse. Acts chapter 2, verses 24 to 27. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, for it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, he's on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, my tongue was glad, moreover did my flesh rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. What? Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou allow my Holy One to see corruption. Now, you're not going to leave my soul in hell, and my body is not going to rot. Okay, you're not going to leave my soul in hell. My body is not going to rot. Now, tying the thoughts together. Blood sprinkling. Jesus justified in spirit. He saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. God watching this. God who had turned his back, if you will, forsaken him.
sees the Spirit coming with the blood, the Holy Spirit, if you please, coming with the blood into the tabernacle not made with hands, and offering the eternal blood of Jesus on the altar. God saw the blood. He saw the travail of His soul. And God said, it's enough.
Amen.
It's enough.
Amen.
The price is paid. Justified is a legal term. A judgment is justified. God said, it's enough. He saw the travail. He saw the blood compassing heaven to hell, body on the earth. The price was paid. He was the slain lamb. He was the scapegoat. He was the high priest. All being fulfilled at one time. All being fulfilled at one time. And God said, it's enough.
Amen.
Now, how did He raise Him from the dead? If that Spirit that raised Him from the dead dwell in us, He will quicken the mortal body. He raised Him by the Spirit. It was the Spirit of Him. The Spirit, hearing, it's enough, takes off from the holiest of all, down into the lowest pit. Acts also gives us the order of the resurrection. First the soul, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Now, can you imagine Satan down there with Jesus throwing a party? I mean, he had won. He did not know about the cross. He was having a party. His imps were tormenting Jesus, and he was just having a party. And then all of a sudden, remember those questions? Will thy loving kindness be declared in the darkness? Thy faithfulness? Will you show life? Will thy righteousness be declared? Can you imagine the soul that was made to be sin and the Holy Spirit with that decree of justice and justification from God, the Spirit coming down and uniting with that soul in the midst of darkness? And it says He threw off of them principalities and powers, triumphing over them in it. Righteousness arose in the grave. The day star arose. Can you imagine? In the pit of hell, in the darkness, the day star arose. Not a speck of darkness or anything. I mean, Jesus starts walking through the corridors of hell. The day star. Satan starts backing up and backing up and backing up and backing up and hitting the wall and sliding down to the thing. Jesus comes up to him, reaches down on his belt, takes off of his belt the keys of death and hell.
Amen. Amen.
When John saw him in the book of Revelation, he said, Jesus said, I have the keys of death and hell.
Amen.
Now Satan had the power of death. Jesus took it from him.
Amen.
He looked down at Satan and said, your time's not yet. I'm not going to finish you off yet. My feet are going to be upon your head. The part of my body that's on the earth is going to be upon your head. Then he takes off with the keys. He does something nobody else could do. He walks across that gulf that was fixed. Unlocks that other realm. And goes in. Says, guys, we're having a party.
That's
right. We're having a party. I imagine he said to the thief, who he said, today you will be with me in paradise. Hi, you made it. Good. Let me tell you a bit about what happened up topside. We got a little bit to wait because he who descended led captivity captive.
Right on.
Jesus emptied that realm when he came. The earth rent, the rocks rent, graves were open, and many that were dead, the saints, arose. And after the resurrection, went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Mm-hmm. When did they come out? When He emptied that realm. Mm-hmm. When He emptied that realm. Third day, He says, come on guys, we're going. I have the power to lay my life down and I have the power to pick it up again. And the soul and the spirit came up into the grave. Reunited with the body of Jesus. Jesus set up. Now, I don't know about you. If I'm excited about getting up, I'd like to... I'm not one of those slow waker up. When I wake up, I'm awake. I'm ready to go. That's it. I don't take my motor... I imagine I would have got up, hallelujah. Jesus, he gets up, sits up, he takes the napkin off his face, folds it, put it down, hallelujah. He rose.
Amen.
I don't think the angels pushed that back. I think Elijah and Moses pushed back the thing, you know, and the witnesses, two witnesses. I think those are Moses and Elijah. But he arose. He arose. Now, another story, okay, in the Old Testament. They were after Samson. And they came to the city where Samson was and guarded the city. And they, you know, waiting for morning to capture him. Samson took the gates and tore them out of their sockets, put them on his shoulder, and carried them up on the hill and tossed them down. Why was that? I believe that was a picture of what Jesus did to hell. I think when Jesus left hell, he took the gates, tore them off of the thing, carried them up to a hill, and tossed them on the hill. I think that's a good picture of why you shouldn't have to worry about the gates of hell, and why Jesus can say with confidence, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you, because he tore them out of the sockets. And he knows that they're not going to prevail against you. Hallelujah. Where are we? Oh, glory. Now, another point. When Jesus arose that first day, the ladies met him. It wasn't the ladies, it was Mary.
Yeah.
And she grabbed him, you know, and he said, "Don't touch me.
Yeah.
I'm not yet ascended to the Father." And that's where people take that phrase, well, he ascended with the blood, you know, on the end of the 40 days. Martin Luther had a good translation of that phrase. Martin Luther said, "Don't cling to me. Don't cling to me." When I was younger, my girls were younger and everything. When I came home from a trip, you know what? Whop, whop. I had two kids, one on each leg. And I walked around the house like this. Okay? I imagine that that's what Mary did. Mary went whop, and grabbed him. And basically what he said was, "Mary, you don't have to cling to me like that. I'm going to be here for 40 days before I ascend." Okay? That same day, he met the women on the way, and they held him by the feet. It wasn't a matter of Jesus couldn't be contaminated until he went to the Father. You know, into my side, into my hand, he's touchable. And, let me throw one more thought at you. If God raised Jesus from the dead, before the blood made it to the Father, then the Father did that on credit. It wasn't paid for until the blood got to the Father. If he raised Jesus from the dead before the blood got to him, he did that on credit and said, "Well, Satan, I'll make it all square later." I don't think so. I don't think God does stuff on credit.
Interesting.
I don't think he does it on credit. It's paid for. It's paid for. It's finished. It's paid for. Okay? Paid for. Hallelujah. I get excited about this message. Okay, just a couple more thoughts. Hallelujah. This tends to be a long message. Sorry about that. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. By the way, what happened to all of those people that were raised and came out? He emptied that realm. Those that had a body close enough to Jerusalem got to go into their body and get out. I think that's why Joseph said, "Bury, take me and get me near Jerusalem." Because I think Joseph down in Egypt didn't want his body down in Egypt when resurrection happened. I think he saw it in the future and he wanted his body close enough to be gotten to when resurrection was happening. Okay, that's just me. I'm going to ask him about it when I get to heaven. But when he went up, there was a strange cloud. A cloud that received him. A cloud that wasn't acting like a normal cloud. It's a receiving cloud. He's going to come back with clouds.
Right. Yeah.
But we, surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. I think when he ascended up on high, he took everybody with him in the cloud. And a cloud received him out of their sight. A cloud received him. Okay, now, the Lord spoke to me and said, body for body, soul for soul, spirit for spirit, Christ died for you. I love that illustration where it says, you know, Jesus was asked, how much do you love you? How much do you love me? And he stretched out his hand and died. You know, he died for us. Physically, he died for us. He took your hell, too.
Yes, he did.
He took your hell. He took your separation. It was not possible. He loosed the pains of death because it was not possible that he be holden of it. Now, the body stopped the pain the moment it died. The soul didn't stop the pain until it was reunited with the spirit and made just. He loosed the pains of death because it was not possible that he be holden of it. But in this thing so far, I hadn't seen where the spirit died for me. Body for body, soul for soul, spirit for spirit, Christ died for you. Okay, and in my study, I was perplexed about that. And then the Lord ran me across one verse. In Revelation chapter 13, verses 7 and 8. It was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given to him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, all whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. Now follow with me. Way back in eternity past, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, however you want to picture the Godhead, the three in one and the one in three, and all that beautiful mystery. God talking to himself says, you know, if we do this, you know what Adam's going to do. You know what Eve's going to do. You know it's going to require a Savior. It's going to require a Savior. Son, will you be the Savior? Will you lay down your life when the time comes? Will you accept that? I think the Son said an eternal yes to the Father way back in eternity past. I think the Spirit that inhabited Jesus, I think Jesus in that sense was born crucified. He didn't really have to make the decision. Yes, he did. But I mean, long time ago in eternity, he said yes to the Father. And I think he was born crucified. And the mark of the cross was on the Spirit from the foundation of the world. Born crucified. What's the gospel? Guys, the gospel is neat. Is that God sent his only begotten Son into this world. He sent his Son, his love. He lived among us. He taught. He did miracles and signs and wonders. He showed the love of God in a very real way. He didn't fit into the mold of the Pharisees or the Sadducees. He didn't fit into the religious mold. He fit into a God mold. And he lived among us. We felt him. We heard him. We saw him, John says. We saw him. He stretched out his hands and he died. His body went to the grave. His soul was made to be sin for us, went to the lowest pit. The Spirit went to the Father. And justification and resurrection happened. And if you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Lord, and you believe that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved.
Amen.
You shall be saved.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's just raise our hands and thank him. Father, we thank you for salvation. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the work of the cross. We thank you for the Easter story. We thank you, Father, for the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Father, we thank you for our salvation. We thank you for the forgiveness of sin. We thank you that by your stripes we're healed. We thank you, Father, that you put upon Jesus the iniquity of us all. And Father, we ask, Lord, for you to reach within our lives. God, touch our bodies, touch our souls, touch our spirits. Oh God, let us be a testimony and a witness of your power and your resurrection. God, let us share the story of Jesus.
Yes,
Jesus who loved us and died for us. We give you praise. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Just go ahead and thank him. Father, we praise you. We praise you, Lord. We praise you. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. You're wonderful. You're wonderful. You're wonderful, Lord. You're wonderful, Lord. You're wonderful, Lord. You're wonderful, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. If you're here today, Pastor, could you come too? If you're here today and you've never taken time to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, oh, I tell you, this time of year is a good time to accept Him. No reason to run, no reason to hide. Jesus loves you. He's known you from the beginning. He's pursued you. He's the one that finds you. Not just you find Him. But if you have never taken time to acknowledge Him as Lord and just saying, I believe that God has raised Him from the dead. I accept Him as my Lord and Savior. Today would be a good day. Today would be a good day. Hallelujah. If you're here and you've never accepted Him as your Lord, would you just slip your hand up and say, I want to do that. I want to do that. Hallelujah. You know, He draws us ever so gently. Sometimes we run, sometimes we struggle, we do different things. But He loves you with an everlasting love. Anyone? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, precious.
Do something else for me. I want you to lay your hand on your heart. As some countries, the heart isn't. Some cultures, the heart isn't the center of life. The liver is. And they lay their hand on their liver. But that's not even really the inner man. But Father, we just lay our hands upon ourselves today.
Yes.
And we ask, Father, for the work of Calvary to go deep within our heart.
Oh, yes, yes, Lord.
Sometimes, Father, we go so quickly through life that we forget what you've done. God, remind us. Remind us of what you've done. Loosen the power of evil upon us, Lord.
Yes.
Deliver us from evil. Lord, help us to walk in your love and walk in your light and walk in your power. Let us not be distracted by the things of this life or the things of this world or the inconveniences that we have. You are our source. You are our God. And Father, as you begin shaking this earth, we hold not upon this earth or the things of this earth, but our eyes are upon you. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. We look for you. We desire your appearing. Come, Lord Jesus.
Come, Lord Jesus.
And fill us. Fill us, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen. Jesus, we're filled with utter thanksgiving and utter praise this morning. As we stand before you in the house of the Lord, we are filled with amazement at the amazing grace of God, the power of what you've done for us. Lord Jesus, thank you for taking care of it all, body, soul, and spirit. Father, thank you for receiving the blood shed and saying, it's enough. Jesus, we give you complete praise and thanksgiving this morning as we stand here as your people. Oh, how we love you. And we love you, Lord, because you first loved us. And all the people said,
amen.
Amen. What a great morning in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Pastor Ward, we thank you again for being here. And We'll be here next Sunday morning, same time, same place, Wednesday night, Grace Gathering at Pastor Carl and Pastor Sherry's house, 6:30 Wednesday night. You're more than welcome to join us. We're having a great time talking about the Word of God and what He's speaking to our hearts. Be released and be blessed. Have a fantastic day in the Lord. Amen.